And so Finn is like, oh my god, Clark, I thought you died because of me. And she's like, okay, I didn't, though. I'm alive. It's fine.
Did you murder any more people while I was unconscious?
Yeah, exactly.
Hello and welcome to Our The Hundred podcast, brought to you by the Aficionados Podcast Network. My name is Robin Jeffrey. I'm a 28-year-old actor and artist. I like brooding anti-heroes, feminist agendas, and I remember way too many details that no one else cares about. You can follow me personally at Robin E. Jeffrey pretty much everywhere, and our fun fact for this episode is a birthday present that you got one time that you liked, because Raven gets a very important birthday present in this episode, at least in a flashback she does. And the one that I could think of that was sort of relevant is that my sister commissioned something handmade for me last year, and even though she didn't make it herself, it was handmade, so it feels good. It is a crocheted version of a character's pet from my weird D&D show that I love.
Aww.
And I look at him all the time and I love him so much. I'm looking at him right now.
Is it Preston?
It's Preston.
Oh.
Look at him. He's a little peppermint pig.
So cute.
He's the cutest. I love him.
And my name is Samantha Coley. I'm a 31-year-old news editor at Collider. I like over 40s OTPs and making playlists. I'm on Twitter at Sam Casey's, where you can find me yelling about television and fangirling middle-aged actresses, which is so true right now. and I got a really good present on my wife's birthday instead of my birthday, which was she proposed to me at Disney World. So
yeah,
that's got to be the best one.
Yeah, that sounds about right to me. Today we have words to say about episode 208 of The Hundred. It's called Spacewalker.
This episode may contain spoilers for all 7 seasons of The Hundred.
Yes. Thrilled to be here. This is my favorite episode of the show.
I would put it in my top 5 for sure.
Yeah, I think that this is The Hundred at its best.
Correct.
I really do.
You are absolutely correct.
As for the title, it is obviously the nickname that people keep calling to Finn, but then by the time that we get to the end of this episode, it turns out Finn wasn't even that girl. Finn was not even her, so interesting. This was the mid-season finale of season 2, and this was the last episode to have aired before I started watching live. So I got caught up on The Hundred in the hiatus between Spacewalker and Remember Me.
Oh my god, Robin.
And I believe that's true for you as well?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, technically I got caught up right in time for Spacewalker.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was the last episode to air.
Oh, right, yes. Yeah.
Like, I think I caught up and then immediately watched Spacewalker live and then got the rest. But that, aw.
Yeah, it's cute of us.
Yeah.
And it's also the only episode of the season to have no Mount Weather in it. So Mount Weather in all the other episodes except for this one.
That's crazy.
Yeah. We've got, as for thoughts from listeners, Katie got back to us. We asked for her to please send us an email last episode because we wanted to know if any of the garbage medical stuff they did was actually at all realistic in the slightest. So Katie got back to us and we thank her in advance for that. This is what Katie said. I'm starting off answering the specific questions asked in my attempt to be succinct, something I'm not very good at, and I'm sure you noticed by now. Number one. What drug did Abby give him for such a rapid detox? Answer. Honestly, since I really have no idea what the Reaper substance is, I don't know. The closest thing I can think of that has this kind of effect is a medication called Narcan. It is a reversal agent for opioid or narcotic overdoses.
Okay.
When it's given intravenously, it works in seconds. It's kind of neat to watch, honestly. But it's not a detox medication. Detoxing is what happens when the substance, drug, alcohol, etc., is leaving the body and not being replaced or replenished. To my knowledge, which is limited in this area, there is no medication that can make someone go through that as quickly as seen in the episode. I haven't dealt with a large number of patients who are actively detoxing, but those I have taken care of are monitored very closely and given medication to mitigate the effects of the body dealing with a lack of substance. At times, the patient is in such bad shape when going through withdrawals that they have to be sedated while their body and brain go haywire without the substance they're used to getting regularly.
Mm-hmm.
They may even have to be put into a medically induced coma and intubated, which is tube into the lungs and placed on a machine to breathe for them, because of such severe withdrawal symptoms. And the very act of detoxing can be fatal. So that's the first question. So basically, like, sort of no. But it's like, this is the future, but also, yeah, we're just not sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Question 2. Can it actually stop the heart like that? Answer. Since I don't know what the medication Lincoln got was, I can't say that it would stop his heart. There is a medication that can do that, but it wouldn't make any sense for that to be given at this exact time. Also really cool to watch. It's the principle of, have you tried turning it off and turning it back on? What most likely happened was that his heart went into ventricular fibrillation, which is a fatal heart rhythm. The heart is beating so irregularly that it cannot adequately pump blood through the body and a pulse may not be able to be felt. Shocking the heart, defibrillating, can reset the heart into a normal or at least better rhythm. Common misconception, if someone's heart isn't working at all, like flatlining, no amount of external electrical shocks will make it work again.
Oh!
The defibrillator is used for fatal heart rhythms. There are four of them. They're known as the shockable rhythms, but the heart is still beating, albeit not well. If the heart isn't beating at all, shocking it won't fix it.
Damn!
That is a very interesting misconception.
Television really lies about that.
Yeah,
like,
right?
A lot.
Yeah, no kidding.
I really appreciate this, by the way. Like, I know you're not finished yet, but, like, I just want to say thank you, Katie, for, like, taking this very, like...
The time to give us your expertise and stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah, 100%. Three. Is it possible to revive him the way that she did and have him immediately be coherent? Answer? Surprisingly, yes. It's more common that the recently revived person is minimally or not at all responsive. But if the person just had a bad heart rhythm, which is what I think was happening to Lincoln, and just needed cardioversion, a specifically timed shock of the heart, they can wake up pretty quickly and basically be all there. It would help that Lincoln was probably pretty healthy before being turned into a Reaper and didn't have underlying medical issues that would make it harder for his body to recover quickly. So much for being succinct. Thanks for doing what you do, Katie. Katie, thanks for you doing what you do.
Yes, literally, thank you.
Yeah, I really appreciate that, Katie. Thank you so much for getting back to us. I hope that was interesting for everybody, not just us, but I really love that.
Yeah, I found it fascinating. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry that I butchered some of those medical words, but I tried my best. The storylines for this episode include flashback and not flashback. Or arc and ground. It's funny because it's like a lot of the like season one stuff is arc and ground, but in a completely different way.
Yeah.
So that's why I had to flashback, not flashback. So we're going to start with flashback, and I did the summary for flashback.
Hell yeah.
Okay, the arc. In a flashback to the arc a few months ago, I think, Finn is helping Raven study for her zero-G exam. Finn implies that he's bad in bed because Raven studies while they canoodle. He gives her the Raven necklace that he made for her. Tell me that's not true, though. He literally is like,
No, that's exactly it.
I'm like, well, if she's doing that while you're doing that...
Then you're not doing it very well.
Clearly you're not doing a good job. Exactly. Exactly. Okay, so Finn implies that he's bad in bed. He gives her the Raven necklace that he made for her, hoping it'll bring her luck. Later, he finds her working, and she says that she aced the test with the first ever perfect score. They won't give her the certification, however, because she has a heart murmur, which made her fail the physical. Finn surprises her with a spacesuit that he borrowed, and explains how they're going to do an illegal spacewalk. At the airlock, Raven goes outside and has a great time. When she gets back in, though, the door doesn't seal, and they have to do a manual override to get her back in, which is wasting a bunch of oxygen. Alarms ring out as guards are sent toward them. Finn demands for Raven to take off the suit so he can put it on. He'll be sent to the skybox since he's not 18 yet, but Raven would be floated. The guards discover Finn at the scene of the crime. Turns out, Spacewalker has never actually done a spacewalk. Later, Sinclair tells Raven that he's gonna give her the certification anyway, so Finn went to jail for no reason! Oh, yikes. So a smaller one, but I remember, like, I think I have this later in my notes when it's actually revealed, but I remember, like, this being, like, the biggest reveal of all time.
Yeah.
Especially when this is, like, all of the 100 that had been out by the time that I got caught up, right? So it's, like, We've had Finn for the entire show.
Yeah.
And it's, like, the reveal that he was not actually Spacewalker was, like, gigantic in my mind. I was, like, what?
And they also, it's, like... This episode, when I was rewatching it, and Brittany was, like, helping me with my summary, this episode in particular was, like, they were doing stuff right here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were, the writing of this episode is really good, and
yeah.
they were doing plot twists in the way that wasn't happening in other places yet, and, like, they were doing them well.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I was, like, very impressed.
Yeah, and it was just, like, the caliber of this episode compared to, like, what happens immediately in the next season is just, like, oh, man.
Yeah, what happened here?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we see Finn doing flashcards with Raven, and he's like, you already know all these answers, not sure why we're doing this. And he's like, you're going over these while we're doing it. I think you know it. And I'm like, first of all, gross. And then Raven's like, it's multitasking. And I'm like... Finn clearly doing a horrible job.
Yeah.
If she's, like, can't even pay attention.
Exactly. No. If she's doing complex space equations, you're not doing a good job. She shouldn't be able to think about that.
No, you're not doing a good job. Realistic, I guess, though. I believe it, that he's not good at it. He's not very good.
Oh, yeah, I also believe that he's not good at it. And I think it's hilarious that Raven and Clark are so down bad. And I'm like, just be with anyone else. Be
anyone else.
Be with anyone else, and you'll be like, oh, actually, it was not that good.
Clark literally is like, I love you too. And I was like, what? Okay.
If you say so.
Well, sorry. So he says, what do you want to do for your birthday? And she says, I just want to pass the test. And he's like, I was thinking like dinner or something, but okay. She says she wants to move up to 0G so she doesn't have to be in this like tin can her whole life. And he says, well, I made you something. And it's this little, the little Raven pendant that, you know, was so important to her throughout these, honestly, like for the most of the show.
Yeah.
And she says, it's a raven. And I was like, really? No way! Like, I just...
That's crazy!
I just can't imagine, like, him giving it to her and her being like, oh my god, thank you, is it a pigeon? Or, like, what is it? He was like, it's a raven. But he says, it might bring you luck for your test, and they kiss about it. So, later, it's Raven's birthday, and we can hear the PA deploying fighters to Section 5, so who knows what's going on over there, but it doesn't sound good. Raven's welding stuff, and she's acting really distracted. Finn says, happy birthday, and she says, oh yeah, I know we had a plan, like, sorry, like, maybe I'll see you later. And he asks how her test went. She says that she got 100%, first perfect score ever. So he's like, great, when's it happening? And she explains that she failed the physical, so she's never going to do it. And she has a heart murmur, and it's probably never going to be a problem, but they don't want to train me in case I get out there and immediately die.
Like,
so
that sounds stupid.
Yeah.
Frankly, like, I understand that it's a valid reason because this is a space show and you can't waste any resources or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's like, you got this person who did so well. I think we can risk it.
Right, exactly. And like, Sinclair totally gets it by the end. He like figures it out, you know?
Like, you have the literal, exactly. And like, you have the literal smartest person to ever take this test, and you're gonna...
Probably smartest person on this ship.
Right!
Yeah.
Looking back, a lot of the decisions within the show, like, so many people get the idiot ball just for plot reasons, and I'm like, oh, come on.
Yeah. And this time it's the entire engineering wing.
Yeah.
So she's sad, she's disappointed, and she's like, well, happy birthday to me. And, whoa, Raven throwing herself into her work because she's upset? That's crazy. I've never seen her do that before.
Definitely not going to come back forever and ever and every single time that something bad happens to her.
Right. And, like, this heart murmur thing comes back in season 4, right? And it was, like, a really good callback, and I remember really liking that storyline and that callback in season 4.
I completely agree.
Yeah. I believe it was the part where, like, I remember her reshocking her heart in, like, the ice water or whatever.
Yeah.
Right?
It was such a good episode.
I remember really loving that episode because Sinclair had already died at that point, and then they, like, brought back Alessandro to, like, have a really emotional moment. It was good. It was good. I remember liking it. Yeah. So later, Raven comes to see Finn, you know, where they were hanging out before, and she said, I thought we were meeting in the mess hall, like, what's going on? He says, thought this would be better, happy birthday, and she says, you're late, and you also already gave me a present. So she opens the box, and it has a piece of tape that says Raven, and she's like, wow, I really preferred the other gift. Not sure what I'm supposed to do with this. And he says, well, it goes on this spacesuit that I took from the maintenance bay. No one should be paying attention to the monitoring right now, so let's do a spacewalk.
Like, so...
It's a horrible idea.
Violently risky.
Yes, deeply. Especially when every punishment is capital punishment. Like, are you kidding?
Yeah.
Very risky. It, like, almost feels like, now that we're saying it, it's so risky, and if it was Finn's idea... I'm sure that, like, he was like, if anything goes wrong, I'm taking the fall anyway. Because it's so easy for him to be like, take it off, it's mine.
100%, yeah.
You know, I feel like he's thought of it already. Yeah, he had already thought about that. So at the airlock, Raven is trying to teach Finn, like, sort of what to do from the inside. And he's like, okay, have fun. So she goes out, and it's great. So she's outside. We, like, sort of leave and come back. She's outside. Finn tells her to start heading back in, and she does. And the CGI is just okay.
But, like, it's a CW, so it's like, it's all right.
Yeah, like, you know, could be worse, could be better.
Yeah.
So she gets back inside, Finn closes the doors, and Raven says that she felt free, and they're, like, happy, and oh my gosh, it was so worth it. But then the alarm goes, it turns out that the outer door is breached,
The airlock pressure is failing and they're going into emergency protocol. And Finn doesn't really know, like, what to do or what's happening. And Raven is sort of, like, stuck inside there. They can't get the door open.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's bad. So, it's so bad.
It's really bad. So it's interesting because at this point in the episode, I feel like, and I mean, it's been years since I've seen this for the first time, but like, I feel like at this point, not until we see him in the spacesuit and the guards coming toward him, do I actually put together, oh my gosh, he's not Spacewalker.
Right.
Like, before now, I think, oh, he must have also gone on a spacewalk at some point.
Nah.
And until he takes her spot, what do you think?
I don't know. I'm doing the math. Mm-hmm. Especially when the airlock fails, I think that's what I...
Okay, that's fair. Yeah. So they're still freaking out, they're trying to get Raven back inside, and Raven explains that they must have blown a seal, the doors won't open because it's not equalized. And the lady on the alarm says that it's critical now, so that's not good. Raven is, like, almost gonna, like, pass out because she's, like, running out of oxygen and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so she tells him to do the manual override. And he does it, he pulls her through, then they close the door. The PA sends emergency people to airlock B-17, which is, you guessed it, where they are. Not so good. So Finn says we gotta run. And Raven says we can't because the doors are gonna be sealed, like there's literally nowhere we can go. So when he puts on the suit, I guess she just like hides until they're gone, I assume?
Yeah, I don't fully know what happens to her.
Yeah.
She can't leave the room.
Yeah, it's but. Like, is it just the section that's sealed off? Is it the room? Yeah, unclear, but clearly she didn't get caught.
Or, because, like, still someone would have had to, like, let him out of there.
Yeah, right.
Maybe she just doesn't get
and then they just, like,
punished because it's technically his fault. I don't know.
Yeah, I wonder if... It does feel like someone else definitely has to be there. So I have a hard time believing that the, like, courts or whatever would be like, oh, the reason why it malfunctioned is because he was doing it by himself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it seems like there are way too many steps that need to happen from inside for that to even be viable as a explanation, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But they clearly don't, if they don't even look for somebody, they definitely don't catch Raven, obviously.
Exactly.
So Finn tells her to give him the suit, because he's 17, he's gonna go to the skybox and hopefully get out in a couple of months, but Raven is 18, and so she's just gonna straight up get floated. And so the guards find him in the suit, and he's like, oh my god, am I gonna get in trouble? And, like, the reveal that Finn was never actually Spacewalker, absolutely insane at the time. Absolutely insane. Like, I look back on it, and, like, yeah, this is, like, one of the best episodes of the show, but... Like, Finn is such a blip in like...
I know, in the ultimate, like...
The show's actual...
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's, like... But I remember at the time this being, like, crazy.
Yeah, I was never super attached to Finn, so I was, like, mm-hmm. bye! Right. But...
Yeah, see ya.
But, like, it is a good reveal, and, like, Finn in the flashbacks, I think, is more charming than Finn in the entire rest of the series. I was like, oh, they're making him likable, they're gonna kill him.
right. Yeah, no, that's an interesting thing to say, because I really feel like, you know, Raven and Clark are both such powerhouses, especially Raven, and so mm-hmm. it's like, you know, when Raven, like, comes down and she's like, I love him, you're like, why? You know, so it's like, exactly. It was important for them to show how much he cared about her and how, like, and the reason why she cares so much about him. Like, I mean, later she even says, like, I owe him my life, you need to save him.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like, yeah, it was a good sort of, like, explanation as to that, because I feel like all in season one we're just like, how did this guy pull either of you?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. So lastly, Sinclair comes to Raven and asks how the supply line is coming. She says, well, it's garbage, but whatever, I'll get it going. And he goes, no, I'm going to pull you off. You got your certification. And she goes, but what about the physical? And he's like, yeah, but your test score made me overrule the objection, obviously. And congrats. So it turns out it was all for nothing.
So you guys could have just, like, waited 20 minutes.
Oh, honestly, and you'll never hear me say this again. Poor Finn. I do feel bad for him about that.
Honestly, a victim of the narrative.
Yes, right. I mean, it's like... very freaking cool. So, like, I'll allow it, but I do feel a little bit bad for him in this moment.
Yeah.
Before we go to the other storyline, I also wanted to shout out to Alessandro, who was on a recent episode of the new Percy Jackson show.
Oh.
he showed up to say, like, a few lines as, like, a police officer and left, and that was it. But I was excited to see him. I was just like, hey, Percy Jackson show, do you know who you have there? Give him more lines. You don't even understand.
Canadian icon.
An icon. He deserved more lines. He deserves a bigger character. Whatever.
He's such a good actor. Like,
he's great.
And he was in Battlestar as well. And yeah. He's so good in Battlestar. So every time he pops up in something, I'm like, oh.
Ah, my friend. Yeah.
I love him. Oh.
So early, because it's like just a little piece of the episode is the flashbacks, but let me talk to you guys really quickly about Patreon. It's a service in which you can donate to some of your favorite creators. Our Patreon is patreon.com/theafficionados, and we really appreciate your help over there if you have the means. The $1 level gives you early access to every single podcast. This one comes out a whole week in advance. $2 gets you access to our Discord server. $5 is 10% off at 3 different small businesses. And the $10 level gets you access to our Patreon-only podcast, plus all the ones underneath it. If you get one that's higher than $1, you get also all the other stuff. So I feel like it's worth it. I don't know. Woo! But if you can't help us out on Patreon, maybe check out our small businesses. They're all in the description. Or just recommend us to a friend, because that's free, and it also really helps. So yeah, thanks.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
All right.
And Sam did the summary for The Ground.
I technically did the summary for The Ground in that I hired my wife to do the summary for The Ground. I watched the episode and I'm...
And I paid her in kisses.
I'm a very busy lady and I did pay her in kisses. And so if this is Britney level sass, that's why.
That's why.
Yeah. Also, this is a longer one, so bear with me for talking for... Hopefully not 10 minutes like that one time. So, on the ground, Clark returns from her sexually charged liaison with Lexa to find that most of the Sky People are pretty cool with giving up Finn for his crimes, especially since he's kind of known as the guy who lost everyone 3 months of air on the Ark, hence the whole spacewalker thing. Raven gets big mad about it and then punches Major Byrne. Can't blame her, though. Being 16 is really hard, but she's like 18, so... Well, being 18 is really hard. Everyone at Camp Jaha gets a gun, including Murphy, which from having seen this show a time or two, we all know is a hilarious idea. Bellamy and Clark roll up to Finn and Murphy, and Finn is like, hey, I can help patrol. And everyone is like, pretty sure that being near the border would make you easier to kill, so maybe go inside. Clark tells Murphy what happened at Tondi C. It was his fault, like, the little gremlin wasn't actually trying to stop Finn from killing a bunch of people.
Preach. Preach.
Right. He tells Clark to blame herself since Finn did it for her, and give the gremlin some sunglasses because the library is open and Clark has been read to filth.
Hell yeah.
Clark and Abby check up on the recently unreapered Lincoln, and Abby wants to know how to negotiate best with Lexa to save Finn. And it's like, girly, not even Lexa's huge lesbian crush on her daughter would do that, sorry. Anyway, Lincoln says Finn must die and then graphically describes how it's going to go down. Since Finn took 18 lives, he has to suffer the pain of 18 deaths. Smart guy Lincoln says, Finn's life as a trade for not having a war sounds like pretty good math. And by the way, Lincoln asking Lincoln this is mad disrespectful since Lincoln lost a bunch of his friends in that massacre. So, way to go, guys. Yeah. Abby is a Taurus through and through, though, so she and her stubborn ass aren't giving up yet. She frees Raven from the stockade for punching Major Byrne. Jaha says that Abby should just go give Finn up, and, like, I hate to agree with that guy, but he's making some points. Clark discovers Finn attempting to leave, and he's like, hey, I know I killed a bunch of people, but I think running away is the answer. By the way, I'm in love with you, and I killed all of those people to keep you safe. Please forgive me. And Clark is Clark, so she just asks that he not leave. Some grounders finally roll up to the party with their classic Juice Strange Stone chant that would eventually go on to haunt the Twitter timelines and Tumblr graphics for years to come. Abby approaches the riders at the gate and says they're ready for a fight if they have to. And the riders are like, psych! And reveal that they brought Kane back as a peace offering. And Abby's like, oh my god, I thought I'd never see you again. And Kane is like, I have this fear myself. And me and Brittany were like, I'm going to make this entire conversation my whole personality for at least 6 months. So Cabby and Jaha go over the situation, and Kane thinks that Lexa would let the Sky People put Finn on trial, and that doing so would be the most merciful situation for Finn. And it's like, I guess.
Yeah.
Abby bounces and immediately is confronted by Raven and Bellamy, who want to know what they're going to do with Finn. She says they're trying to find a way out of the situation. Looking back, I'm pretty sure telling them Kane's plan would have helped, but what do I know? Anyway, Bellamy decides that means they're going to give Finn up. Bellamy tracks down Finn and tells him that he's got to go because the Sky People are getting really weird. And because this is fiction, he's immediately proven right with a bunch of Sky People rolling up and acting really weird. Bellamy takes one out while Clark and Finn leg it. Back in the Ark, Cabby are once again approaching Lincoln to ask if Lexa would be cool with letting them put Finn on trial, and Link is like, no, are you stupid? He killed a bunch of innocent people in a murderous rage, and the last thing that they're gonna do is let his own people put him on trial. So they're super lucky Lexa is in charge, because if it were all up to Indra, all the Sky People would be dead right now, and this gives Abby an idea. Finn and Clark are making their way downtown, walking fast when a grounder attacks and knocks Clark out. Finn pulls out a gun and begs the grounder to go so that he doesn't have to kill him. Oh, now he has a conscience. That's nice. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Finn carries Clark to the dropship where Bellamy and Murphy take care of her while Raven comforts Finn. Abby meets up with Indra, which, to be honest, is pretty baller move considering that she's literally just heard Indra would, like, low-key kill everyone, including her. She says that she doesn't want to see any more people die, and this would probably have meant a lot more if Indra hadn't seen Finn in the forest. Way to go, kids! Anyway, Finn does indeed have to die. Sorry, Abby. Is it me, or was the tension in that scene delicious? People who already shipped Abby and Indra were cooking, in retrospect. Raven and Finn have Finn's final doomed narrative conversation, and they promise they'll always be family. I don't know, man. I think they forget about you pretty quickly.
I know that we can't, and it's not, but, like, can we have Brittany do one of the summaries every week?
She's, like, so good at writing these, and I appreciate her so much.
She's so funny. And, like, she's here to do this really good episode, and I know she doesn't want to do any of the other episodes, but I want her to.
Clark says something about not being defined by the things that he's done, which is not at all true in this fictional world that they inhabit, I gotta say. Bellamy yells that the grounders have arrived at the dropship and they're surrounded. Dun, dun, dun. Raven decides that the most logical course of action is to give Murphy up instead of Finn because he was also at the village, and because Raven is the most tragic character on this show and completely by accident writing-wise. Finn says nah, and he instructs them to guard the dropship while he goes and surrenders. He hugs Raven and says, may we meet again. Unfortunately, since he wasn't around to ascend into a sentient tree or whatever, they will not be meeting again. At Camp Jaha, Clark, Raven, and Bellamy and the whole gang watch the grounders set up Finn's execution. Abby says that they can't do shit, and she stands close to Kane, which was important to me personally. Raven pulls Clark and Bellamy aside and gives Clark a knife. She wants Clark to kill Lexa since Raven owes Finn her life. Ooh, Clark, which love interest are you going to kill? Let's find out. Clark goes to Lexa. Indra is not that into letting her into Lexa's tent, but Clark leans on Indra's spear enough to draw blood because Clark is a little unhinged and insane, and Lexa likes that in a woman.
I believe
Lexa is like, let her in. She's too hot to be injuring herself like that. Clark begs Lexa to show everyone how powerful she is by sparing Finn. Finn killed all those people for Clark, so Lexa says he'll die for her too. Lexa writes a note to herself. A good way to impress Clark is not to kill a bunch of people for her. Anyway, Clark asks if she can say goodbye, which Lexa allows. Clark hugs Finn and tells him that she loves him and that he'll be okay, and then she stabs him with the knife that Raven gave him. An absolutely insane move. Everyone is like, wait, did she just kill him? What the f-? Lexa says, he's done, it's over, no more attacking anyone, guys, and Raven has a full breakdown in Bellamy's arms. The end.
Honestly, Lindsay ate with the...
She did!
I actively remember that.
That was, as a Braven shipper, I had to think about what the ship name was for a second, but as a Braven shipper, that was a great moment.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, for sure. Yeah, thank you so much to Brittany for helping us out.
She is the best, and I love her, and I'd marry her 100 times.
And I'd watch. Just like I did that first time. So Clark gets back from talking to Lexa, and Finn sort of like comes to greet her, and she's like, dude, so not now. Not now. You're the one who's ruining everything. So Clark says, she says that we can have a truce if we give them Finn. And Raven's like, excuse me? And Clark's like, I don't know. That's what she said. And Raven's like, okay, so no, right? And Finn is like, oh, it's probably a punishment for what I did. Yeah, probably. Yep.
You think?
Yep, that's probably what it is. So Abby goes, well, what if we refuse? And I'm like, why would you do that? But okay.
Like, sounds like a bad idea.
If we refuse, then they attack, and all of this was for nothing. And, you know, all the randoms are like, rabble, 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 give them to them. And I agree, random citizens, I really do. Then there starts being a kerfuffle, and Clark says, Raven, I promise nothing is going to happen to him. And Griff, whoever that is, but that's the name of this random person, he says, he burned 3 months of oxygen, and he should have been floated a long time ago, so let's get rid of him. Bit of a discrepancy, it did say on the wiki that Clark says that Finn used a month of oxygen in his spacewalk in the pilot, but now they've changed it to 3 months. So just a bit of discrepancy there. It's possible that Clark just didn't know how much.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Like, I completely understand why people hate him. Like,
yeah,
he doesn't really have a lot of redeeming qualities, except to the, like, two teenage girls who have a crush on him.
Right, and, like, why? Like, I guess he's cute, but, like, his personality takes away from it, I think.
Right, like, it was selfless of him to save Raven's life on the Ark. But yeah. The only reason Raven's life was in danger is because of him.
His fault.
In the first place. Right. Still.
Right. Interesting.
He has no redeeming qualities.
So Raven starts getting angry at that guy. And, you know, I get it. I mean, like, we don't know that yet, but, like, it was her fault. And, like, she's the one that did the thing that everyone is yelling at him for.
Right. She feels responsible.
You know, like, it was his idea, but she feels responsible because she's the one that actually did the thing.
Yeah.
So Major Byrne tries to stop her, and Raven punches Major Byrne in the face.
Raven feels responsible for the spacewalker thing in the exact same way that Clark feels responsible for what happened in the village, because he did do both of those things for them, but they both feel responsible for it. And I think that's an interesting commentary on the fact that, like, women will carry the burden of responsibility so often, and, like, the guilt and, like, the pressure, like, all of the bad feelings that come with a decision, and men will just run away.
So yeah, then she gets taken by the guards, and Finn is, like, you know, whining like a little baby in a corner, and Murphy shows up to show him the gun that he got, and he says, dude, Major Byrne gave me a gun, so we must really be screwed. And he's like, okay, well, that didn't work to cheer you up. It's okay, we'll win against them again. Nice guy Murphy is just trying to be like, hey, Finn, head up, man.
It's all right, buddy.
Don't worry, buddy. And I think that he thinks they must be friends now, since they've been through maybe a shared trauma.
Yeah.
And Finn acts like they're not, but he won't let Murphy go down for what he did later. So at least there's that, you know?
At least he has some conscience.
Yeah, exactly. And Finn is like, okay, well, a lot of people died, though, Murphy. And Murphy's like, okay, just trying to help.
Murphy's like, I know it's serious, but we have a bed to sleep in for the first time in weeks, but, like, go off, I guess.
Finn's literally like, a lot of people died, Murphy. And I'm like, what? You killed them. Why are you shaming this guy? Okay.
Why are you booing me?
Yeah. So Bellamy comes up and he tells Finn what they're gonna do to, like, fortify the place. And Finn wants to help, and Bellamy says, nope, I want you to stay inside. And he, gives a reason, but it's really just to keep him out of sight, really.
Yeah.
So Finn's like, well, I'm not gonna hide. And Clark is like, we just need to keep you safe for right now, so we're gonna talk to Lincoln about it. And as they walk away, Murphy says, any orders for me, princess? And Clark goes, go away. leave me alone. I'm like, okay, be nice to him. But she's also, like, turning around. She's like, hey, only boys I have a crush on can call me that. Don't call me that. That's a special nickname.
Like, here's the thing. They just can't handle that he's so much funnier than all of them.
Right? Sorry he's the best one here.
Like, sorry he's hilarious and has way more charisma than any of you, but go off, I guess.
Literally. Literally. And I know he's done bad things in the past, but he's nice, too. Especially to you guys. He just wants to belong, and he wants to have a friend.
Every friend group needs the personality hire, and that's Murphy, okay?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
He is pulling his weight as the personality hire, and you are all dropping the ball.
Speak on it. Like, later when, and we'll talk about it later, obviously, but, like, when he thinks that Raven actually invited him along because she thought that he would be useful.
Yeah.
You know, he seems like he's so appreciative and, like, feels special that she invited him. And then to learn that she betrayed, is, like, immediately betraying him and, like, just invited him to throw him under the bus. Like, oh, it hurts my heart.
Mm-hmm.
It hurts my heart. So Clark is like, well, you were there with him. You let it happen, Murphy. Murphy's like, I literally tried to stop him. And Clark's like, well, I guess you didn't try hard enough. Okay, I guess I'll just put my own actual body in the line of fire. Like, come on, Clark. Right. What else was I gonna do? He had an automatic weapon.
Right.
What do you want from me? Be nice to him.
Also, respectfully, you weren't there.
Right. You don't know. You don't know what the circumstances were. You think that Murphy handed him that gun? No. What?
Mm-mm.
So Murphy's like, excuse me. He's like, I know this is not a way to make a friend, but I feel that I need to defend myself. If you want to blame someone, you were the one he was looking for. He did it for freaking you. And she's like, okay, and she leaves. Good point, Murphy. I love you. So Clark gets to medbay and she finds Lincoln strapped down. And she's like, oh, he's not a Reaper anymore. He doesn't need to be restrained. And Lincoln says that he wants to stay restrained for now, like just as a precaution. Dude looks very good. Like, man, a bath must do a lot for Reapers because... He looks, like, basically normal, except now he has a beard.
Well, it's also that this is the CW and everyone is, like,
right.
contractually obligated to be hot.
Yeah, right, exactly. So Abby says, okay, Lincoln, how are we gonna make peace here? Lincoln says, okay, did she leave riders behind? Yes, two outside the gate. He says, okay, they're waiting for Finn, and you're running out of time. So Octavia goes, she actually thinks that we're gonna hand over one of our people? Like, would she ever do that? And Lincoln's like, oh, yeah?
It's the law.
Like, let all of her people... Like, are you kidding? Yeah, let all of her people die to save some murderer? No. Of course she would do that. She'll definitely... Yeah. She's definitely just gonna kill all of us if we don't give Finn.
Like, Kane... We're not there yet, but like...
Yeah.
It makes... Lincoln being like, are you guys idiots? Makes so much sense. Because, like, you guys are being idiots. He killed 18 people for no reason. Like, there wasn't... It's not even like he killed 18 people for justice. He killed 18 people in self-defense. He killed 18 people by a complete accident.
He killed elderly people and children.
Yeah. He murdered elderly people, children, women, literal children. Like, come on. Get it together.
I'm just like, the thing is that Abby's like, well, I'm not gonna, like, just give a child over to be slaughtered or whatever. She says that to Jaha later. And I'm just like, okay, but even children in, like, our modern age, if a child, a teenager especially, if a teenager killed 18 people, they would be tried as an adult. Like, at that point, it doesn't matter what age you are.
Right. Like, the thing is, I talked a little bit about this with Brittany when she was helping me write this.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, Kane and Abby's sort of hopeful ideals are, like, wanting to break out of, like, the necessity cycle that they had to live in on the Ark. But, like, it also, when they were on the Ark, if you committed any crime, you got murdered for it. So, like, this isn't even a new concept to them.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. Like, hello?
And, like, Kane's middle ground is a decent solution in an ideal world, but they don't live in an ideal world. You live in the fucking apocalypse. Like, sorry.
Yeah. So Abby's like, can we offer something else? And Lincoln's like, guys, Finn killed 18 people. He is one mediocre guy. Like, please just take the deal. Like, are you kidding? And Clark is like, what? He was the first person to offer kindness and peace to you. He's your friend. And Lincoln's like, not any freaking more. Like, he shot up my village and I had
18 of my friends
who lived there. Are you kidding? Like, he killed a bunch of my friends. I don't like him. We are not friends.
Exactly.
Like, Lincoln's very close to Nyko. Nyko was there in the village. Therefore, like, that's literally Lincoln's village?
Yeah.
Like, he's like, those people are, like, family to me.
Yeah.
I hate Finn.
Like, me and all my homies hate Finn.
Exactly. None of us like Finn. And so Clark's like, well, that wasn't him. Like, you know the real him. And Lincoln's like... Well,
the real him still picked up a gun and killed a bunch of people.
That's the real him now. Like, we can all be monsters and we're responsible for what happens when they get out. And of course, this is a exact, like, one for one comparison of Lincoln, who totally feels responsible for the things he was doing as a Reaper.
Yep.
Yeah. Like, Lincoln's like, been there, dude. But if I had done that, I would own up to it. And I would be giving myself over to the Grounders way faster than this guy is.
Yup.
So Abby asks what they're going to do to him. And he says they're going to start with fire because he killed innocents. And they're going to cut off his hands and his tongue and his eyes. And anyone who grieves the deaths will get to cut him. And I'm upset because I grieve the deaths and I'm not going to get to be there.
Yeah.
I want to give him a cut.
Honestly.
And then the commander kills him at sunrise. But no one really ever makes it to then. So he killed 18. So he's going to suffer the pain of 18 deaths. And they're like, oh no, poor Finn. So in the brig, Raven is in there with Jaha. And Raven's like, Abby, I'm sorry. Please let me out. Don't make me hang out with Jaha anymore. Please let me out.
And like, I get it. That's so valid.
Yeah, so valid. And she's like, but you get why I was mad at that guy. Like, he was going to throw Finn to the wolves. And Abby's like, well, you think I would have allowed that? Like, you need to trust me. We need to trust each other. And she lets Raven go. And she's like, but don't do it again. And Raven leaves.
I really like the history between Raven and Abby. Mm-hmm. And like, especially their early friendship is such a good, like, relationship on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Because they both have, like, I feel like they both think in very similar ways. And they both have, like, really interesting perspectives. So it's fun to see them when they link up. And because, like, out of context of the show, until you get to, like, whatever episode it is in season one, when she sends Raven down,
yeah,
you're like, there's no reason for these two people to, like, have a relationship. But they do when it's a cool relationship.
Yeah.
Because I feel like a lot of teen shows don't do a very good job of, like, blending the relationships of, like, the adult characters and the kid characters outside of family. So I like that they have this.
I think that's a great point.
Thanks.
So after Raven leaves, Jaha's like, be nice to her, Abby. We need fighters. Did anyone ask you?
Like, literally, stop talking.
Shut up.
No, go away.
So Abby's like, well, we need to get out of this without fighting. And Jaha's like, well, if we had done my plan, we could have, but okay, whatever. You should just give him up, actually. And Abby doesn't want to because she's not sending a child to his death. And Jaha goes, that's interesting because we sent 100 of them here. And she's like, yeah, that was another time, and also that was your bad. Like, that was...
And also, it wasn't...
Your decision.
It wasn't a guaranteed death either. Yeah. So, she also protested that decision. Like, we don't know that there yet in this point in the show, but, like, yeah, you and I know it because we got there in the next season.
Yeah. But it's like, you know, okay, maybe they die instantaneously in the crash. Maybe they die pretty much instantaneously of radiation when they get back. They're not getting, like, actively tortured.
Tortured, yeah.
And, like, drawn out, painful on purpose, you know? Like, so, like, I get that, Abby, but also, like, otherwise everyone's gonna die. Though.
Like, also, it's Finn. He's done enough crimes.
Yeah. So, yeah, good job, Abby. Drag him. Drag him right to his face. Thanks so much. So, Clark finds Finn packing, and she says, Bellamy said you were here. What are you doing? And he says, I gotta leave. I'm putting everyone in danger. And she says, dude, like, you're gonna be killed as soon as you get out there. We're surrounded. And he goes, well, it's what I deserve. I'm like, okay, dude, go then. She says, you were trying to save us. And he goes, no, I was trying to save you.
Oh my god, the melodrama.
I'm like, don't make her feel worse, first of all.
Right.
I was like, yikes. He goes, I'm in love with you. I go, yikes again.
Yeah.
Yikes times two.
Huge yikes.
He says, everything that happened, all that matters is that you're safe and you forgive me. You forgive me, right? Also, do you love me back? And all she says is, don't leave. And you're like...
And, like, she doesn't She doesn't love him back, because now she looks at him and she sees a guy who killed 18 people for no reason.
Right. And I think even later when she says, I love you too, it's really just to, like, comfort him before he dies, I think.
I think that she did love him, but she also knew he had to die, so...
Yeah. Give us your opinion, Flark shippers. Hit us up. Tell us what you think.
Are you real? Like, I don't know that you exist. Yeah. Respectfully,
please let us know. I'm genuinely interested. But so she's definitely saying that she cares about him, but just not like the love thing that he said. Then we hear all the grounders chanting, blood must have blood, and they run inside. Bellamy's like, they're trying to scare us. And Abby's like, everyone go inside, I guess. I don't know. Clark says, no, we need to show that we're not afraid. And Abby's like, but I am afraid.
I am afraid, and I would rather not do that.
And Clark's like, just pretend, I guess.
I love how driven by her emotions Abby is. That's my chaotic little queen.
So now it's your moment. So they open the gates and tell the guards that they're not going to give up Finn. This is very stupid, now that you've made this official announcement to the other side that you're going against what they asked for. But the horn sounds and they leave, and then Kane emerges from the trees, and Cabby reunites.
And it's beautiful.
And Abby said she thought she'd never see him again, and Kane says, yeah, same. And basically, Bellamy says they need to get somewhere safer. Kane managed to get them some more time, and then they go inside. Thoughts? feelings. Go on.
I love it. I love this reveal. As a hag shipper, I'm just so into it. Like, this is at the time one of the biggest, like, textual acknowledgments of, like, a positive direction for their relationship. Mm-hmm. Because I remember I was binge watching it up into this episode, and they have really good, like, enemies chemistry, especially in the first season. But then, like, towards the end of the first season, there's, like, a couple little moments where they're like, oh, actually, I don't want you to die. That's crazy. And
no reason why. I don't know.
I definitely am not, like, violently risking my life for you to live as well, because I care about you. That's so weird.
Yeah. Why would you say
that? And then, so, like, at the beginning of this season, they go back and they fall into that little, like, enemies territory again. Mm-hmm. With the, like, shock lashing thing and, like, challenging right. each other's orders. And then he's like, actually, I feel really bad about this, so I'm gonna go on a personal walkabout to fix it. Mm-hmm. And then this reunion is, like, the culmination of that. And it's like, I was so used to being paid dust in mm-hmm. TV shows where it's teens and adults. And then all of a sudden, I was like, oh, they're maybe actually gonna explore this relationship? Maybe question mark. And I didn't actually think that they were for sure gonna do it until about 5 episodes from now.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, there's some, it's just one of those moments where you're like, I'm not crazy. You know what I mean?
Well, you never want to, like, get your hopes up and have them just crashing down, right? So it's like, you gotta be sure.
And it's also like, a lot of times when you're watching a show, you'll be like, I'm seeing things here because I want to see two pretty people kiss. But right. the narrative also wants to see two pretty people kiss in that case. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah. So inside, Abby asks Kane where he was kept, and he says the commander's stronghold. So he wasn't, like, a prisoner, but he wasn't allowed outside. So it's kind of like he was a prisoner. Can I make a Dimension 20 quote, if you don't mind?
Of course you can.
So there's this scene. Dimension 20 is the D&D show that I watch that has taken over my life since 2021. And there is a season where they're doing, like, a sci-fi western, basically. And they basically kidnap this one NPC. And Ali's character goes, so can you come with us? And then Brennan, who's playing all the NPCs because he's the DM, is like, am I being kidnapped? And Ali goes, no. Can I leave? No. And that's just, like, how it feels. How it feels is, Kane's like, am I a prisoner? They're like, no. Can I go outside? No.
No.
also, no.
The plan is kind of changing, so we're just going to take you with us.
Am I being kidnapped?
No, no, no.
Can I leave?
No.
It's a very dangerous situation.
Yeah.
Kane says that they brought him there last night, and Jaha at that point is also brought in, also in restraints, and it's what he deserves, to be honest.
Uh-huh, 100%. Keep that man locked up.
And Kane's like, what? What is happening? And Jaha's like, well, Kane, time for me to try and get Kane on my side. Apparently I'm dangerous, Kane, and Abby's overreacting and being a bitch.
And it's like, actually, I have a crush on her, so I trust her to do whatever she thinks is right.
Kane's like, you didn't expect this from me, but I'm absolutely on her side.
He's like,
if she even looks at me, I will fold.
He's like, I know it's been, like, 5 minutes since we saw each other, but a lot has happened in that 5 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, we thought you died, and I felt, free to explore my feelings for Abby.
Yeah. Sorry. So, Abby asks the guards to leave, and, she says, yes, the former chancellor was detained for treason. Sorry, Kane, I am going to keep this job for a bit, so you also aren't chancellor again. It's just me. And Jaha's like, well, don't fight her for it, because, like, I did, and now look at me.
Look at me now.
Shut up. So Abby, like, gonna ignore that, and she's like, Kane, how did you buy us this time? He says, I know the commander, and I think that she would be open to another proposal. If we offer to put him on trial ourselves for war crimes, and Jaha's like, oh, right, at least we would have control over what happens. And of course, Jaha's like, I'm going to take whatever man is in front of me's side instead of Abby. Just anyone. Literally anyone but Abby.
Literally any man.
Not that it's not a good idea, but I really feel like if Abby had brought that up, Jaha would have been like, Abby, that's stupid. We should have just left. You know?
Yeah. 100%.
Maybe I'm biased, but I don't know. I don't think I am.
I think that we're allowed to have negative feelings about Jaha all the time because Isaiah Washington is a terrible person.
Correct. So, okay, great.
Yes. Yeah. So Abby's like,
if he was played by a not terrible person, there would be more nuance here, but I hate him, so I do what I want.
I literally think constantly, well, I try not to have the 100 in my head constantly at this point, but like, I think all the time about what this show would have looked like if Jaha was played by Mike Beach, which we had brought up last season, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think that he would have had so much more nuance.
Yeah, honestly.
So Abby's like, okay, so we'd execute him ourselves? Like, how is that any better? And Kane is like, maybe. I get that this is hard, but their justice is really ferocious, and this might be more merciful, you know? Like, even if we did have to execute him, at least it would be quick, basically, right?
Yeah, which is ultimately what happens.
Yes, exactly. And so Jaha's like, still want to be Chancellor, Abby? It's full of really hard decisions.
Like, okay, she makes...
Shut up.
She's a doctor. Do you not think she makes hard decisions every day?
She literally, in season one, made a hard decision to save your life.
Yeah!
That made her almost floated, dude.
That was gonna get her killed!
Shut up, dude. I hate this man.
Ugh.
So Abby leaves. Now, I'm not trying to go against Abby on this, because I know how much we love Abby, and I feel like a lot of the audience was against Abby a lot of the time. But let me mm-hmm. tell you my question, and let me know what you think. I know that she said it's because she doesn't want to give a boy over to being, like, tortured and stuff, which is fair. But, like, are we protecting him because Clark likes him? Because he did it in the name of saving Clark? Like, it almost sort of feels like it's biased because Clark and Raven, too, who she also cares about, don't want mm-hmm. Finn to die. Like, what do you think about that?
I think that that does play a little bit into her decision, but I also mm-hmm. think, like, it is in part her and Kane both trying to escape the, like, decisions that they had to make on the council in space, because...
Right, once they get to the ground, it was supposed to be better.
Yeah, they're supposed to be being better and making better decisions and escaping those, like, outdated systems of punishment and, like, an mm-hmm. eye for an eye thing.
Yeah.
And, like, they want to have better ideals. Like, these people are good people, and they want to make the best decision that with the lowest cost of life,
mm-hmm.
but that's just not how things work here, and it's too ideal for the situation.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so Abby goes out into the hallway, and Raven's like, hey, what's up? And Bellamy's like, we're not doing this, right? Not sure why Bellamy cares so much about Finn.
Right.
But he really seems to.
I feel like it's in part, like, just he feels, even though the camp ultimately respected Clark more, I think, if I'm remembering correctly. But actually, no, they respected Bellamy more because he was cooler. So I
yeah, Clark's a narc.
I got it backwards in my head. Okay, I figured it out. I was like, sorry guys, it's been like 10 years.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Since I watched season one. That's an exaggeration, but like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
In season one, even though Bellamy like sort of shirked the seriousness of being responsible for the ground, like for the kids on the ground,
mm-hmm.
I think by now, and by because there are so few of them left, Bellamy does ultimately feel responsible for all of the people who were in that group, even if they piss him off.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So I think he feels responsible for Finn. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah, yeah, I would say that's fair. So yeah, Bellamy's like, we're not doing this, right? And Abby's like, dude, I am trying my best, okay? Can you just give me some space? And Bellamy's like, damn it, they're definitely gonna do that. Which, like Brittany wrote in the summary, if Abby had just been like, we're trying to figure out a plan, we're pretty sure it'll work, you know, all this stuff, then they wouldn't have had to go to such measures to, like, get him out and stuff.
Exactly. I completely agree with Brittany writing that. And I also, sorry, I got derailed by my own memory of this scene, because this is also a scene. I ship everything on this show. Don't come for me. I don't
honestly
care.
So many options, and like, right. I was talking to my friend Meta recently. Sorry, I actually don't
no,
want you
ahead.
To lose your thought, so you do yours first.
I've got it, you go ahead.
okay, so basically I've been talking to my friend Meta recently, and like, I don't know what it is about the 100, but like, I find it to be like very, very shippable, which I know that you feel the same way. There's so many options uh-huh. there, and then also it's like endlessly, like, AU-able, if that makes sense. Like, it's like,
oh yeah, yeah, yeah,
any AU works with it. These characters fit anywhere, and it's really interesting. I think of like other shows that I love very, very much, and it's like, I just don't feel that way, and I'm not sure what it is about the 100 that makes those characters so like timeless, but like,
It's real. And like, I think about many of my other favorite shows and like, you just can't do that with those. And I think it's partially because it's a dystopian. And so it's not actually, doesn't actually take place in like a coffee shop, you know, so that you can like pick, you can like pick them up and put them there.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I do think that's interesting.
I was going to say, I think, because I feel like I watch a lot more sci-fi than you do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's maybe a little bit emblematic of sci-fi. Because I feel like, because of the thing that you said there at the end, because they're not period piece characters, so that they don't talk like a specific way that wouldn't make sense in another setting.
Because
they're all like, it's all sci-fi, most sci-fi is like set in a future world, so they talk like us and they act like us. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And then, but it's also the world that they're in is already so fantastical. You can take these like broadly drawn characters and plop them into another situation, and they still make sense because they're quite broadly drawn and they're not tied to a universe so tightly that you can't change the universe.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, especially when I'm like looking at like Riverdale, something like Riverdale that basically did AUs in its own show.
Yeah.
That like you can definitely do it with Riverdale, but like when I look at Lost, even though it's sort of a sci-fi show, it takes place firmly in 2004. And they, you know, they lived in Iowa. They lived in LA. They lived in Australia, you know? So it's like, yeah, you're completely right. That like, you know, when they live in a spaceship, you can put them wherever you want.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But anyway, I ship everything on this show. I am a multi-shipper at my heart, everywhere I go. And as is my right to do so, and as is your right to dislike whatever I say, but I did ship Bellamy and Abby. And this was one of the moments where I was like, eyeball emoji.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. You're like Bellamy and Abby. We've got Raven and Abby. And then in that other room, we have Kane and Abby. And then...
Basically, if a person that...
And then Bellamy and Raven right here.
Listen, if two people that I find attractive are in a room, I'm going to think about them kissing.
I will be looking. Yeah.
Like, it's my business. Do what you want.
Yeah. Dude, it's so funny. Like, I forget that anybody else in the world watched The 100, except for the people who were in this fandom with us, who, like, fought the good fight and, like... who were so obsessed that we went to, like, cons and stuff, you know?
Yeah,
And so when I'm on TikTok and somebody posts a, like, TikTok about who they would, like, fan cast in whatever, and I'm scrolling through, I'm like, oh, interesting. Ah, Bob Marley, ah! Like, how do you know that how do you know about him?
How do you know he exists?
Only I know about that guy.
Jump scare. Anytime I see any of the actors that were in this show, it is a jump scare. Like,
truly.
I work for like TV entertainment news, and we got the like first look images at Quantum Leap season 2 or whatever, and Eliza was there, and I was like, ah, what are you doing
here? Ah, wait, no. Yeah.
Eliza Taylor, what are you doing in my falafel?
Weirdly enough, I'll see Rick in anything and I'm like, he belongs there.
See, that's true.
Yeah.
He's a chameleon.
Yeah, it's true. And also, he's done so many things afterwards, too.
Yeah, I feel like he is the maybe only one of them that isn't a jump scare. Like, I expect to see him places.
Yeah.
The rest of them, I don't expect to see places.
Mm-hmm. And even people like Sachin, like, he's off, like, doing stuff for, like, Hallmark and stuff. But every time I see him still, I'm like, ah, Sachin! Yeah, for sure. So Bellamy goes to find Finn and to get him out of here, and they're gonna go and take him to the dropship. Clark is like, actually, I think that this is the safest place right now. And Bellamy's like, no, because I think Team Adults is gonna give him up. So we need to go to the dropship until we figure it out. Raven's already working on getting you out, basically. And Finn is like, okay, but flips his hair. No one else can come. And Bellamy's like, too bad. You don't get to decide.
He is so violently cringe.
And actually, you've already answered this question because I asked you before, but in my notes I wrote, why does Bellamy care so much? I don't remember them being friends. But so that dude from before, whose name is Griff or something, comes to get Finn, and Bellamy like gets the dude and stops him. And Clark is like, maybe you're right, Bellamy, let's go. So then they go. So Abby goes back to medbay to ask Lincoln's opinion. And Lincoln goes, did the commander accept this plan of yours? And she's like, No, we haven't asked her yet. And Kane is like, well, I think that she'll probably consider it. And Abby says, so if we do the trial ourselves, will she accept it even if we put him in jail and we don't kill him? And Lincoln says, I mean, she might, but she would be dead by morning if she did that, even if she wanted to do that.
Right.
And Octavia's like, what? They would kill her for being merciful? And Lincoln's like, have you guys learned nothing?
Right. Have you been listening?
Yeah, they would kill her for being weak. He killed people. It's not mercy to them. It's weakness. Like, how have you not learned that by now?
I swear they all have cotton in their ears. Like, none of them are listening.
So then Lincoln does a banger line, if death has no cost, life has no worth.
That's one of the best lines in the show, I would say.
100%, yeah. Kane's like, but she's a visionary. And Lincoln's like, yeah, and that's why you're still alive. Like, any other commander would have just, you guys would all be dead by now.
Yeah, she would have straight up killed you.
Like, yeah, Lexa is cool and nice. And that's why you're pushing it, dude.
Why do you think you're still alive?
Yeah.
It's so, not because you're pretty.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you are, but that's not the reason. It's actually because Clark is pretty. That's why.
Correct.
So Octavia's like, oh yeah, like Indra would rather us dead. And Kane is like, true, I met her. She's dangerous. And Abby says, well, then I'm going to go speak to her if she's the one that's in the way. And we're going to show her that we understand their pain. And I'm like, good luck with that.
Okay, girly pop.
Yeah, good luck with that. So Clark catches up with Finn in the woods, and he says, we were supposed to split up. And Clark goes, no, I didn't want to. So we're not doing
it. So here's the thing, I decided not to.
Yeah, Clark is like, have you met me? I'm the one who decides things, actually. Finn says, okay, so what's the plan after this? As if they're just gonna, like, give up when they find out that I'm not in there? Like, is this really actually helping our friends? In Mount Weather, I think he means. Or he probably said that, I don't know, it just didn't write it in my notes. And Clark says, well, we'll figure it out. That's when a grounder finds them and attacks, and Clark gets knocked out. Finn has a gun, but doesn't shoot, and so the grounder runs away. And you're like, oh my god, character development, we can't kill him now.
It's like,
he'd never do it again.
It's such a weak attempt at, like, I guess,
making us sad when he dies. Like, it is sad.
Retroactively humanizing him. Yeah, I feel like they wait until the last minute to humanize this character. Mm-hmm. Like, I hated him. And yeah. This didn't work on me.
I think I liked him. But I don't know why. I probably also thought he was cute, to be honest. That's probably why I liked him. But I remember, like, not liking him.
Honestly, makes sense.
As soon as he shot up a village.
Yeah.
So, like,
it's crazy how your opinion can change of someone when they do a really terrible thing.
Right? Interesting. But, like, yeah, they're like, well, we can't kill him now. Now he's a good guy. And I'm like, we can still kill him. Yeah.
And I'm like, where?
We can. Yeah.
Girl, where? Is the good guy in the room with us now?
Right. And, like, now the grounders know that they're outside the gates. Like, if he had killed him, it wouldn't have been so much of a problem for Abby.
Yeah.
In the other scene. So, yeah. I don't know. Raven and Bellamy get to the dropship, and Raven still doesn't see them coming, and she's, like, upset because she didn't want to split up. Bellamy's like, oh my god, someone's coming, but it turns out it's just Murphy, who's, like, just walking in and is like, ah, please don't shoot me, I'm just a little guy. And Bellamy's like, what? And turns out Raven invited him so that they had another gun. Basically, Raven's just like, I didn't invite him because I like him or think he's cool. He just has a gun and I couldn't get it off him.
He's a spare.
Yeah, that's it. That's
what she's really saying.
The reason why I invited him.
Yeah.
So Bellamy's like, okay. I'm going to talk about this in the Murphy Me moment. And there are several Murphy Me moments that I have. But, like, honestly, when Bellamy sees that it's Murphy, he does not look upset. He's generally like, hey, it's Murphy. Like, I rewatch it and he's, like, not mad. He's just like, oh. And I'm like, interesting. Interesting how the turns have tabled. Just saying.
Yeah. Isn't he also a little bit, like, not into it when Raven's like, well, I brought him so we could just kill him. So,
yeah, 100%. Bellamy's like, wait, we can't. And I'm like, yeah, I know. You can't. So Raven's like, why isn't Finn right behind you? And Murphy says, Spacewalker's gonna be fine. So Murphy calls Finn Spacewalker right in front of Raven, which is, like, so good, because she, of course, has been hearing people say that, and he's not. She's the one.
Yep.
She's the girl. So Raven didn't tell Bellamy ahead of time that Murphy was coming. Like, definitely didn't tell him her plan, because then Bellamy wouldn't be into it due to Bellamy and Murphy being in love. But, like, she didn't even tell Bellamy that she had invited Murphy as an extra gun or whatever, so.
Yeah.
Interesting.
We're making some very strange choices here.
Yeah. So Finn carries Clark into the dropship. She is unconscious due to having been knocked out. And, oh, sorry, in my notes I wrote, got bonked. So, sorry, actually, yeah. What I meant to say was that she got bonked. And it's a great moment because in the flashback that we get right before this, Raven asks Finn what happened, and he says he doesn't know. And in this scene, Bellamy asks what happens, and he does know. Or, like, the same question is asked of him with two different answers.
Yes.
And so I just thought that was interesting, an interesting parallel. Bellamy asks for, like, a bandage or something, and Murphy goes to get it for him. And, you know, Murphy medical man coming through. I don't remember when the first, like, Murphy medical moment, the triple M, the Murphy medical moment was, like, the first time, but, like, we're getting glimpses.
That's another, like,
ship you have.
Relationship that you didn't see. This one's not less of a ship, but yeah. However, like, I do really find their relationship fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's another one that you, like, there's no reason for these people to have gotten here.
Abby and Murphy, that is.
Yeah, Abby and Murphy. But, like, there are moments in which they overlap in the storyline, and I'm like, mm-hmm. I like the way that they mix up the relationships between the adult characters and the kid characters, and I think the result is stuff like this, and, like, you get stuff like Kane and Bellamy, and, like, those parts where they overlap in those two storylines, I always thought was a strength of the show.
I think that's a really good point, because it's like, you know, you look at, it's like the adults were, like, their own people, and obviously that, like, changes down the line, but it's like, you know, Kane and Abby are their own people who aren't just, not that Kane even is, but aren't just parents, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, when I look at a show like Riverdale, as if Veronica ever went to go talk to Alice and have a storyline with Alice.
Right, exactly. You
know, like, Hiram was Veronica's dad, and, like, yeah, he had a conversation with, he had storylines with Archie, but that's because Archie was dating Veronica. And, like, sometimes Jughead would go, but, like, well, whatever. Like, but you never saw Betty in Hiram.
Exactly.
You know, you never saw Hermione with, like, anybody other than Veronica.
Uh-huh.
You never saw Fred with anybody but Archie.
Yep.
So it's like, yeah, it was just interesting. It's like, on Riverdale, and, like, as much as I love Parentdale, they were parents first. And on The 100, at least at the beginning here, they were people first. And I like that.
Exactly.
Yeah. So Bellamy tries to wake Clark up, and Raven assures Finn that Clark is going to be fine. And she says, yeah, we're going to figure it out. And Finn's like, well, yeah, Clark said that too. And then she almost died because of me. And he storms out like a baby. And you're like, okay, dude. Okay, man.
The drama.
Calm down.
I'm like, this is how I know that you would still commit crimes if you were free.
Yeah. Right, exactly. He's like, and now if I have a gun, I'm gonna
need anger management.
Hurt you.
Yeah.
So Abby and Indra meet up, and Abby goes, hi, I would like to talk leader to leader. And Indra's like, yeah, whatever. Finn's in the forest, like, you told him to run and now you're trying to distract us, like, you think I'm stupid. And she threatens Abby with a knife to her throat. Abby says, I'm just trying to save my people just like you are. And Indra says, well, you said you were ready to fight, and if we don't find him soon, you're gonna have to prove it. Abby makes a fairly good point of, like, if we just keep killing each other, it really only helps the mountain, which is, like, the third man in this, on these teams, you know? And Indra says, you're brave, but courage isn't justice. So they have some real bangers of lines this episode, I gotta say.
Yeah, it's very good, yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, I really, I like how this scene also sort of parallels Clark going later.
Mm-hmm.
Because neither of them back down when they're literally on the end of a blade.
Yeah.
And I really like, I like when Clark and Abby are on the same team in general, but I also really like when Clark and Abby, like, have parallels like that. I think it's neat how this sort of foreshadows what happens later a little.
Yeah. And, like, I say that courage isn't justice is like, a really good line. But, like, really, it's just, like, this concept is not this concept. And they're, like, two big words. And so we're, like, wow. But, like, when I look at it, I'm just, like, actually what she's saying is, like, you're brave, but pancakes aren't bananas. Pancakes are not bananas. And, like, really, she's just, anyway. Like, I mean, she's right. Courage isn't justice, because those are two different words. There you go.
Yeah, I guess. Sorry, I'm too tired to make sense of what it is.
I know. I looked at it and I was like, what does that mean symbolically? Yeah. And then I was like, does it mean anything? I think she's just saying that these two words aren't the same.
Like, is it Abby's courage or is it Finn's courage?
I feel like,
because Finn's not being courageous at all. He ran away.
Well, I feel like if we had chosen courage and then another word that was, like, similar to the word courage that meant, like, something different. So, like, courage and cowardice or something. I mean, obviously courage isn't cowardice. And then you'd have justice and then something similar to justice. And then if we put those together, but, like, courage and justice are completely different words. words.
I feel like she's...
That don't really have anything to do with each other?
No, I feel like she's trying to say that, like, she respects Abby's, like, ideals, but it
doesn't help, doesn't fix it.
It doesn't make up for what Finn did. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Listen.
Like,
Adina makes it sound good.
She's like, I like you as a person, but we still have to kill this kid.
Yeah. She's like, you're really pretty, but sorry.
Exactly.
Yeah. So she says, only Finn can die for this, so I don't care. And they leave. Back at the dropship, Finn is worried because Clark still hasn't woken up, and Raven's, like, trying to calm him down, and Finn decides that now is the time to apologize for all of his deep wrongdoing, and he says, I'm sorry I hurt you, like, I never meant to hurt you. And she forgives him, and even he thinks that that's stupid, and he says, why are you letting me off so easy? And she says, because we're like a family. And you're like, that's nice. I feel like I would care more if I didn't hate Finn.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly the vibe.
This would be a really, really lovely moment if this was like if, oh my God, Sam, if this had happened in season 6 between Raven and Murphy, after them being like, not Sky Crew, what did we call them when they were up in the thing forever? Did they have a name? What did we call them? That group?
Oh.
Do you remember?
Oh, yeah. What?
They were all up there for, like, several years. Space Crew. So they were Space Crew. Imagine this conversation between Raven and Murphy in season 6 after them being up there for, like, I don't remember, 5 years or whatever. And, like, he says, I'm sorry I hurt you. I never wanted to hurt you. She forgives him. He says, why are you letting me off so easy? And she says, because we're family? Like, that shit would hit.
Exactly.
Like,
you're cooking here.
Thanks, man. Just like Monty's algae. Yes. But like, that's the thing, is it's just like, the writing here is good. The problem is that Finn is just not the guy.
Finn is not the character for it.
You didn't
make him, like, I know that you were writing for a teenage audience, but you did not make this character compelling enough for me to not hate him from the jump. Like, I just, he's a cheater. He doesn't contribute. And he's annoying. And then he kills a bunch of people. Like, no.
Can I talk about Lost again? I'm so sorry.
Of course you can.
One of the things that we say about Lost is, like, the main character on Lost, his name is Jack. And a lot of the things he does are, like, very extremely annoying. Like, he is so annoying. And he says stupid stuff. And he's self-righteous. And he thinks everything that he does is for the best. And he, you know, there are things to like about Jack, but there's also a lot of things to not like about Jack. But one of the things that the writers have always made so clear is that when Jack is being unlikable, I'm sure I've talked about this on the show before, but when Jack is being unlikable, they did it on purpose. They're writing it on purpose. They're not being like, this is our protagonist and he's the best, but he also stalks his ex-wife and he also does this and that, you know? Like, when he's being unhinged, it's because they wrote him to be that way. And I feel like with Finn, they were writing him to be cool and they just failed.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right.
Like, they didn't write Finn unlikable on purpose. He just is. Mm-hmm. And that was the fail, I feel like, for that.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm so sorry if anybody's listening to this and they like Finn and they're like, oh, I'm going to listen to the Spacewalker because it's Finn's best episode. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Also, if you do like Finn, please send us an email. I'm deeply interested in your opinion. Yeah. So Clark wakes up and Raven is like, told you so. And Finn says, and I quote, how's your head?
Haven't had any complaints.
And Clark does not say never had any complaints, which is disappointing.
She really lets down.
I forgot that I had another Lost reference in my notes here. But I feel like I'm fair to talk about Lost on this show because they've talked about, like, Lost being a huge influence on the show. But so they say, how's your head? She says, awesome. There's this moment in season 3 of Lost where Juliet gets her shoulder dislocated. Kate put it back in, and then the next morning, Kate says, and I quote, how's your shoulder? And Juliet says, and I quote, awesome.
Nice.
I think that has to be an homage. I am sure of it.
I'll allow it.
I am sure of it.
How's your shoulder? Awesome.
And so Finn is like, oh my God, Clark, I thought you died because of me. And she's like, okay, I didn't though. I'm alive. It's fine.
Did you murder any more people while I was unconscious?
Exactly. He's like, you know, I killed a lot of people. And she's like, babe, I know. And she says, once again, another freaking banger. The things we've done to survive don't define us. Which is funny because Lincoln just said the opposite.
Right. Yeah. I was like, in an ideal world, however.
Yeah, exactly.
Once again, I must remind you, you live in the apocalypse, which is like very far from an ideal world.
Yeah. It is a dystopia and not a utopia. Clark, grab a dictionary.
Precisely.
So Finn goes, well, maybe you're wrong. Like, what if this is who we are now? And I don't think she gets a chance to answer because the grounders show up and surround them.
Mm-hmm.
So after a bit of a break, Murphy's like, why aren't they coming any closer? This is weird. And Bellamy says that they're probably waiting until dark. So Murphy's like, ooh, should we hit them right now? And Clark's like, how many of them are there? And Murphy's like, well, what else are we going to do? Like, do you have a better idea? I don't know. And so Raven's like, well, why don't we give them something? Oh, this breaks my heart. Why don't we give them something? You know,
it's so brutal.
Finn wasn't the only one there, and no one's into it. No one's into it, which warms my heart.
It's a terrible idea.
Including Bellamy is like, whoa, we can't do that, right? And I'm just like, wow, romance. Like, but yeah, that makes me happy. That warms my heart that nobody's into it except for Raven.
Yeah. And like, Raven is only into it because, once again, she feels like she owes
Finn her life, yeah.
Owes Finn her life, so she's like so desperate to keep him alive that she is willing to
repay the favor, yeah.
Yeah. And it's also like, it's not hard for her to want Murphy dead because he is also the reason that she has a leg injury.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. That's why I feel like that conversation of that exact same conversation had happened in season 6 with them, beautiful. Like that scene in season 4 where he apologizes to her, like, yeah. Guys, I'm a Murphamy girl, and don't judge me, because, hey, we're allowed to be a multi-shipper on this show, even
precisely.
If the ship is a little bit weird. My number 2 is Mervin. I am so sorry, but it really is. I love the angst. I love the angst.
You're allowed. You're allowed to do whatever you want.
Thank you so much. And so Murphy, like, almost tearing up, so sad, thought he had friends for a second, is like, dude, you set me up. And Raven's like, well, they might actually believe that he's the one that did it. First of all, there were other witnesses. But so Clark is like, oh my God, are you serious? And Raven's like, if they want a murderer, we can give them one. Like, Murphy has also done murder. And I'm like, fair, but
I'm like, she's not wrong, but oof.
Not mass murderer, if that makes it better? Makes it any better? I don't know.
Like, this is a little questionable to me.
Yeah, exactly. And so Murphy is absolutely not standing down, like, is like, I am not walking out there. And Clark says, no, he's one of us. And I'm like, I'm gonna cry now. But Raven doesn't back down. And Finn is like, no, let's just try and defend this place. And Bellamy agrees. Bellamy's like, no, we're not gonna hurt Murphy. And I'm like, so true. Give him a little kiss on the forehead. He's sad. And so Finn tells Murphy to go upstairs, sort of like protecting him, which I think is really sweet. And Murphy is so betrayed. I feel so bad for my buddy. He just wants to belong. And he thought Raven, like, valued him as an ally when she invited him. And then it turns out, oh, it's just sad. It's just sad.
Yeah.
That's my guy, Murphy. So they start to make a plan. Raven and Finn hug, and Finn says, maybe we meet again. And Raven's like, what are you talking about? Like, we will. But of course, Finn knows exactly what he's about to do, and he knows he's saying goodbye, and he goes out and surrenders himself.
Yep. And it was the right call. It was the right call.
100%. I'm just like,
one of his only. Yeah.
If we had to have a whole nother episode of like this back and forth of figuring out what to do with Finn, I would have been like, get on with it.
Oh, it would be excruciating.
Get on with it.
Kill a kid.
So that night, everyone stands at the fences to watch. And there's this giant post for Finn to like get tied to so that they can watch him get tortured, which is horrible. I'd be like, you know, you guys can just go inside. Like, it's like inevitable that it's gonna happen. And like, I'm glad what happened because it was a very cool moment. It's good writing. It's merciful for Finn and everything. But I also feel like if we can't do anything about it, what we can do is make it a power move for these people who put up this post for us to watch. Is we all go inside.
We just don't watch.
And we don't watch. Right? Like, I feel like that was another option that could have happened.
But it's also, like, it's also, they kind of owe it to Finn to watch, because...
Correct. Oh, my God. Yeah, imagine he, like, looks up and nobody's standing out there, and they just...
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's totally fair. That's totally fair. So, Bellamy's like, it's fine. Like, we'll save him, and we're gonna get them back for this. And Kane's like, oh, what? Like, there's nothing we can do now. Like, he's all the way down there. We're all the way up here. Like, in what world do we have time to make another plan to get him back at this point? He's surrounded by guards. Like, Bellamy, I get that you're, like, desperate, but, like, dude, that is not it.
No.
So Bellamy's like, well, we have to try. And Raven's like, Abby, will you do anything? And Abby's like, bro, I don't even know what we would do. Like, it's not gonna happen now.
Like, they were all sort of on the same side earlier because they all did want to save Finn. And like, I do have to respect Kane and Abby being like, we tried all of the avenues and he still is a murderer. So like, we have to let justice be done.
There's one thing to try and stop, like, once you have him in your grasp, to try and stop them from hurting him, and it's a whole nother thing for them to have him and for you to try and get him back.
And it's not like he didn't go willingly. He surrendered himself.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
right, and it's the difference between defense and offense, and one of them's too hard right now.
And he was watching everyone struggle to make this decision, and, like, he was like, it is his responsibility to make the decision.
Yeah.
So
Clark tells Bellamy and Raven that she's going to go talk to Lexa about it. And she doesn't know what she's going to say yet, but she has to try. And Raven tells Clark to kill Lexa if she won't let Finn go. And she gives her a knife and she hides it in her sleeve. And this is the freaking knife that kills Finn.
Yup.
Like, oh my gosh. Raven, I'm sure, like, that scream is also, like, partial guilt at the fact that
she absolutely
handed Clark the weapon. Like, oh my gosh.
It's devastating.
Yeah. Raven explains that she owes Finn her life, and so you have to save him. And so Clark starts walking down, and Abby's like, huh? What? What is she doing? Yeah. She's like walking into this. Oh.
She's like, I did not sign off on this.
And Kane's like, well, it's not like we can stop her at this point also, so like, I guess we'll just let her try.
And then he like stops Abby from going, which I'm like, again, my crumbs. Thank you.
Eyeball emoji. Yeah. So down in like the valley, Indra doesn't want to let Clark through, obviously, and has her spear out, and Clark basically, like, walks into it to show that she's, like, strong or something, I guess. And Lexa says she wants to see her because she has a crush on her, obviously, and Clark is like, Lexa, only you can stop this. You need to show my people how great you are. And, you know, the use of the word savage in this is not my fave. Like, I never really care for when they use the word savage, even though they do quite often, and they do, like, 3 times in this scene.
Yeah.
We could just use any other word, I feel like.
Yeah.
So once her plan of, like, begging Lexa to just let him go isn't working, she starts pleading with her to take her instead, take me instead, and she lists all of the grounders that she's killed. And Finn and Lexa says, but Finn is guilty. What does she mean by that line? Because obviously Clark is also guilty. So what do you think about that?
Well, I think it's a little bit, like, playing into Clark's thing of the things we've done to survive don't define us, because like Clark's kills were in battle.
Sure. Yeah.
And so she respects that as a warrior.
Right. And
Finn killed innocents.
Yes. Right. Yeah.
And so he's guilty of a crime, and like crime, like the same concept, murder done in war is not treated the same as it is out of war, which is how it is in reality too, which is probably bad.
Yeah.
We should probably still just not kill people. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And like, Lexa doesn't want to kill Clark. Like, she'd rather kill her competition. She's like, obviously I'm going to kill this guy that you kiss. I'm going to get rid of that guy so that maybe you'll kiss me. And Clark's like, well, maybe that's going to work. Maybe it will. But imagine they're just like, oh, sure. Actually, Clark, that'd be great. And so they... Let's take Clark, and then the rest of the show is about Finn.
Right.
I dropped the show after that.
Immediately.
Not gonna happen. So Clark goes, another banger of a line, he did it for me. And Lexa says, then he dies for you. Which is like, oh, you're making it worse! Oh, it's so good. It's very dramatic. With the music, it's very good. It's very good. Yeah. So Clark says, can I say goodbye? And Lexa allows that. So she goes to him, kisses him, and Clark says, I love you too. And I'm like, oh boy, okay, if you say so. Oh, this scene is like, I didn't cry when I did my rewatch today, but I did cry when I did my notes like a month ago. I wrote on my notes, I was like, tell me why I cried right now in this big year of 2024. I cannot believe. And you know, like, you see the, like a sort of childlike moment from Finn where he says, like, I'm scared. And, like, of course he's scared. You know? And it's like, yeah, it just sort of humanizes him, because I feel like, you know, even though Finn has been so down on himself lately and talking about how crappy he is, he has always had this sort of, like, bravado. And a sort of, like, untouchable sort of feeling. And so to see this moment of weakness from him is, like, it, like, sort of stabs you in the heart a little bit. No pun intended.
Well, it does remind you that they're just 17.
Yeah.
Because, like, he still is technically a kid, and they shouldn't have had to do all the things that they did. Mm-hmm. But, and, like, I hate him, and I will continue to be glad that his character died. But, like, he is still also a kid. Yeah. Like, it is very normal to be terrified.
So she tells him that he's going to be okay, and Finn is like, well, I'm about to be tortured, so I don't feel great about that. But then he says, thanks, princess. And then it turns out that she stabbed Finn so that he wouldn't be tortured, which is like, she like euthanized him.
Mm-hmm. And you can really see the moment when she stabs him. Mm-hmm. And he says, thanks, princess, after he's been stabbed. Like, right. He is thanking her for making it easy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's good stuff. Like, it's good television. Yeah.
And it's one of those moments where, like, the gravity of the decision that Clark has to make is, like, she's such a good, at this point in the show, such a good, like, main character, anti-hero, mm-hmm. like, antagonist that you so, like, she's both the antagonist and the protagonist.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, she's such a good, you don't get teenage girl versions of that character.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah,
you get Walter White. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So I love seeing Clark do stuff like this mm-hmm. before, like, the show starts writing her really poorly. And so, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good Clark moment for me.
Yeah, for sure. On the wiki, it said that Finn's death scene was the most challenging scene to film for Eliza Taylor. It doesn't say most challenging scene to film for the whole show, for the whole season. I'm not sure. But the source for that on the wiki is our friend Selena.
Oh.
It literally says source Selena Wilkin. I clicked on it and nothing came up, but I was like, that's very cool. And I was like, I wonder if the source.
It's probably, mm-hmm. it was probably hypeable.
Yeah, probably. But I was like, I know how many times we've, like, I mean, every time we went to Unity Days, we would, like, live tweet the panels. And so I'm like, I wonder mm-hmm. if the source is us anywhere on this site. Like, that'd be really, really cool.
Oh, yeah, that would be fun.
I tried to look it up, but I couldn't find anything. But if anybody ever sees that, please let me know, because I feel like that's really cool. But yeah, Lexa is like, oh, well, at least he's dead. And of course, I mean, the Grounders are pissed, but Lexa's just like, oh, no.
Lexa's just like, well, that is... Justice has been served, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, don't worry, Lexa, you'll be able to do Death by a Thousand Cuts next episode.
It was like, there's literally nothing, there's literally nothing that they can do about it now. So she has to be like, all right. And like, it's nonsensical for them to like continue this with a new person. Yeah. Like if they like just transferred all of Finn's crimes to Clark, like it's the logical decision to make as a leader.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Raven screams and that's the end of the show of the episode. And it's just great ending. Great mid-season finale.
Mm-hmm.
So the 100 at its best, like I said, truly.
I completely agree. I think that at least two of my top five episodes are in season two.
Yeah. Season two is great. It's crazy. Like season two is my favorite season of the 100. It's my favorite season of Riverdale. I know it's something else too. Oh. And anyway, season two's kind of slap.
Yeah, honestly.
Big fan.
It's because you've been given enough, like, if you're a successful season one, you're still, like, you've been given a little bit more, like, room to play.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because you've proven yourself. But then also, you're still so fresh because you're only in the second season. So, mm-hmm. like, that's when all your best ideas come out, I feel like.
Right. Yeah, good point. Now it's time for segments. My first segment is the Post-Apocalyptic Sass Watch, a.k.a. our favorite line award. Mine goes to Clark and Lexa for...
He did it for me. He did it for me. Then he dies for you.
Oh, so good.
That's an excellent moment, too. Like, they both are... acting their asses off. Mm-hmm. This is back when, like, Clark was good at crying and before it got, like, weird.
Yeah.
Sorry, Eliza. And my favorite line award goes to Abby and Kane for...
I was afraid that I wouldn't see you again.
I had those fears myself.
Because I'm a big old shipper, you know?
I wasn't gonna do this, but I realized that both of our favorite line awards aren't post-apocalyptic sass, and so I think I'm gonna give an honorable mention to Murphy and Clark for...
Hey, any orders for me, princess?
Stay away from me.
And honestly, she's right for that.
Yeah,
it was funny.
Good, Good for both of them, honestly.
Yeah, it's a hilarious moment, and I thank them for it.
I am really excited to hear what your answer is for this next one. There's so many options.
My segment is, what is Sam shipping the most? And there is several options, so I'm going to go ahead and give you a
list.
Yeah, I'm going to give you a top three.
I'm on the edge of my seat. I'm very excited to find out.
In this episode, the things that I ship the most are Abby and Kane, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bellamy and Raven. Mm-hmm. Is my next one. Mm-hmm. And I gotta give that little Bellamy Abby moment a shout out, because
all right,
I enjoy it.
Nice. As for my ship, it's time for Robin's Murphy moment. I actually have three Murphy moments, if you'll allow me. The first one is that Bellamy honestly seems kind of pumped that Murphy came to the dropship when he gets there.
Yeah.
He's kind of like, hey, there's my friend Murphy. The second one is that they helped treat Clark together, and their hands definitely touched. For sure. And then lastly, Bellamy is not into giving up Murphy to the Grounders. He's not into it.
Yes.
He says,
these
no,
are all
doing that.
Excellent moments, honestly.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And thank you for listening to this episode.
Yes, thank you so much for, we're just at the end, huh?
Yeah, we are.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. Our music is Terminal by Good News Tunes.
And thank you to anyone who shared space with us while we recorded. Thanks to my dog. Yeah, he just sat here the whole time.
Honestly, shout out Dilly. I love you guys. And then also shout out to Emily and Brittany, who put up with me talking about this show in the household that they live in.
Thanks to Brittany for writing that summary. It was great.
Honestly, she's the best. I love her so much.
I believe you. Yeah, and also ditto. If you're a fan of Riverdale, we like to talk about that show too. We did it. It's over. It happened. We offer you a very large package of every single episode of Riverdale has a podcast episode. And so you don't have to watch Riverdale to listen to it. It's really just like 7 years of us having fun, making fun of a silly, silly show. So go check that out if you want. And we are actually going to be doing a rewatch podcast starting this summer, which I'm actually really excited about.
If you're a fan of Stranger Things, we like to talk about that show too. We've covered seasons 1 through 3, and we are covering season 4 currently.
Yeah, season 4 will be done by the end of 2024. So catch up with us. If you're a fan of Lost, we like to talk about that show too. Obviously, we are just finishing up season 4 here. And then we're going to be going into season 5, which is really exciting. It is a spoiler-free podcast with a spoiler section at the end if you want to listen along while you watch for the first time, which would be my absolute honor. And we also have guests over there. So that episode, or that podcast, is my pride and joy. So I'd really appreciate it if you checked it out.
And you can follow the Aficionados on Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram, and our new TikTok.
Yeah. I'll post little TikToks about this.
It's really cute.
Thanks. Our Patreon, like I said earlier, patreon.com/theaficionados. We'd appreciate your help over there. If you like what we do here, please consider donating. It is expensive with our money, and it's also expensive with our time. If you can't help us out on Patreon, check out our small businesses, or just recommend us to a friend, because that's free.
You can follow me on Twitter at Sam Casey's, which is SamCaseys. I will not be calling it X.
No, absolutely not. And you can follow me at Robin E. Jeffrey pretty much everywhere. That's RobynEJFFrey. Our next episode is episode 209. It's called Remember Me. So we have to deal with Finn for one more episode, but it's over.
This guy.
Not this guy.
I was like, and I get more Kane and Abby crumbs.
Yay! And we get to go to like a fun little dinner or something, I think.
A little rendezvous.
A little rendezvous. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode for like one of the best episodes of the 100. I had just the best time recording with you.
I had a wonderful time as well.
I love that. Okay, love you, bye.
Okay, love you, bye.